put, if you're looking to beef up your devotional life, the Psalms are a great place to start. As you heard from King David, you know, so much open-heartedness he had toward God. He pretty much told God everything that was on his mind and heart and just didn't hold anything back, cried out for great help, felt desperate. And when he gave thanks to God, he really gave thanks to God. You know, nobody had to twist his arm or anything. He was really, oh, Lord, you know, you're the one, I lift up my soul to you. So if you want to grow into that kind of heart to God, looking at the Psalms, biggest book in the Bible, most quoted book by Jesus in the Old Testament, most quoted book by New Testament folk is the book of Psalms. So David, he would have benefited from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when he's dealing with all his troubles that are kind of up to his eyeballs, and he feels like he's going to sink in terms of his health and his soul. Because Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, hey, David and all of us, each day has enough trouble of its own. And David would have said, that's for sure. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And if you think back on what troubles your soul, what you are worried about or brokenhearted about, a lot of it's probably from the past, probably 40%, probably another 50% the future. Okay, I'm worried about tomorrow. You know, Sundays, we're okay on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, oh my. But today, maybe only 10% of your troubles are today. Jesus said, today, that's enough. That's all you can handle, 10%. Okay, God will be faithful to you today. And so in light of the troubles and worries everybody has, King David has it, seek first God's kingdom, His righteousness, and He'll take care of those troubles. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to be doing in 1 year, 5 years, whatever? You know, the things that people get anxious about. And God would have David know that God's kingdom and His righteousness are far bigger than the problems and troubles and pains we have. And that's a good thing to remember. Because sometimes it's the only thing we could see when we're in trouble. If you put a dot on a big old whiteboard, you know, you put a dot on it representing your heartache, your troubles, your pain, and you just, let's say it's this pen instead, and you just focus in on that. So what are you seeing, you know? Well, I just see trouble and pain all around. But if you just step back, look at God's kingdom. Look at His goodness. Your pain and trouble are still there, but now you got it in perspective. Okay, you're seeking first God. So if He took care of the birds and the flowers, He'll take care of you and this big old problem that may be with you until heaven. But He'll take care of that for you. And so trouble's a universal experience. David is expressing it in Psalm 25. He's also expressing a brokenheartedness about sin. We'll mention that in a little bit. But every day people have trouble and pain because we live in a sin-cursed world. Every part of the world is broken in some manner. Human life, finances, relationships, health, you name it, it has some crookedness in it, you know. One time we lived in a place that's crooked steps going up to the house. Somebody said, crooked steps for a crooked pastor. See, no, that's it. But as if something's wrong with everything. But God is there. God is there to help us. And so King David was struggling that, learning about that. He says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Don't let me be put to shame. We'll talk about that in a minute. But David was hearing from God that God was more prevalent and preeminent than his troubles. Old stories about sailors. Back in the day when ships wrecked a lot, you know, sometimes the sailors ended up in the water. What are we going to do now? And if sharks came, they were in bigger trouble than no boat. And yet sometimes sailors tell stories of dolphins coming, you know, to be around them for some reason. Say God sent the dolphins faster than the sharks, better swimmers, more powerful, chasing the sharks away. Okay. Our troubles. God more predominant. God more ever present than our pains. So to lean on Him, say, "Oh Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, You're bigger than this pain, because this pain is awful big. So You must be really big." And David was struggling to keep his faith in the Lord like that. And so what was he feeling and talking about? All these things in Psalm 25. He said, "Don't let me have shame or be disappointed." Actually, the Hebrew word is more disappointed, that I put everything on God in my heart and it seems to, you know, God doesn't seem to be helping me. Shame that you and I sometimes deal with is a result of being alienated from God or others, or perhaps in a bad way. If you grew up in a household, and this was fairly popular years ago, that you did a few wrong things like everybody else, and your greatest loved ones at the time, mom and dad, and the Sunday school teacher, and the teacher at school, and your big brother and sister, they all said to you, "Shame on you. Shame on you. You didn't do your homework. Shame on you. You spilled the milk. Shame on you. You swore. Shame on you." And a preacher says, "Shame on you. You missed church. You're going to be thinking, I'm a person full of shame. I don't even think the Lord could help me. In fact, I'm going to get away from all that." Okay. But real guilt that God brings conviction about moves us closer to God. So the shame thing, you know, throw that aside. Okay. I don't think there's anything in the Bible where God says, "Shame on you." God says, "You're guilty. Turn to me or you'll perish forever." But He doesn't like crush people with a verdict of shame. So David said he wanted God to just show up for David. That's what he's asking for. David said, "My enemies triumph over me. We'll lose the battle against sin if we not turn to God. Lord, help me with the sins of my youth, haunted by rebellion of the past, his rebellious ways." And in the midst of that, David's remembering that God's forgiveness is stronger than his sins. And you think how strong sin is. Sin is really can break you, break a heart and everything else. But God's forgiveness, wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. So powerful. I think the universal gospel message could touch any culture at any year, whether you're from, you know, 1950, the year 150, the year 2018, the forgiveness of sins can speak to a human heart in any culture. So to bring that to the table, David dealt with his sin a lot in the repentance psalms or penitential psalms. If you were thinking, where could I pray? And is there examples in the Bible to pray for my own sin against God? Psalm 25 is one of them. Here's some other ones. Just tuck away in your good old memory. You're an intelligent person. You could probably remember half of them. Okay. Psalm 6 is a big one. David says, "I need God's help. I'm a sinner." Psalm 32 is another one. "I need God's help. I'm a sinner." Psalm 38, Psalm 51, Psalm 130, Psalm 143. You kind of get, if that's something that's drawing your heart to say, "I am a sinner, I need God's help," any of those psalms will help you pray in that manner. You know, so stick them in your heart more than those lottery numbers you played last Friday. Okay? There they are. Okay. And David also says, "Forgive my great iniquity." He knew he was not right with God. He felt trapped in his troubles. He felt lonely and afflicted. You know, the number one emotional feeling that people have, churchgoers, non-churchgoers, Muslim people, Hindus, they feel lonely. Lonely. I want to be connected to people. I wasn't, you know, God gives us solitude as a blessing, but to be not connected to people is a result of a broken world. God wants to help with that. And we as a church, we struggle with that. How could we be a less lonely church in the pews? You know, so we have like Friday night family fellowship. You know, gotta get there when it's there. You got the men's hacky sack golf tournament. Okay. Divots and everything on the putt-putt course. Be together. You know, be together. Don't buy into the lie. You are at your best when you're alone. No. You're at your best when you're with other people. That's God's way. He created us for that. And so he'll deliver David from being lonely and afflicted, being distressed, and again, his sin problems that he has. And to know when we have sin, to not necessarily connect it to all the pain we feel in our life is important. For example, Hawaii. You know, why does Hawaii have the earth cracking around it? Terrible gas and volcanic hot lava coming all over the place. Boulders flying all over the place. Is it because of the sin of Hawaii? No. You know, it's a broken place. So we cry out for God's help. One young theologian wrote this. All suffering is the result of the curse of sin. From Genesis 3. We live in that crooked, fallen world. But the reason for suffering in this lifetime almost always remains a mystery. And I think it's a very human response. Every time you go through a rough time, one of the first things that will pop into your head is, what did I do wrong that God is punishing me for this way? You know, I remember when I was talking to a guy, he couldn't walk. We met him in my son's recovery area, and he says, I'm trying to think what I did to deserve being paralyzed, and for the life of me, I can't figure it out. Okay. He thought if I could connect the dots, maybe I could solve the problem. He couldn't do it, and certainly God didn't want to go in that direction with him. God never grants us the authority to connect the dots between personal sin and suffering. So you don't want to do that to yourself. Don't want to do that to the folks around you. Don't want to, you know, cast curses on Hawaii. I know why you guys are blowing up over there. That's all like superstition is what that is. Okay. You leave it in God's hands. It's not for you to figure it out in there. So to trust God in the midst of a world that is full of pain and difficulty, and God's faith, hope, and love will survive any suffering we go through. And what does David do in the midst of praying? He remembers God's goodness, and you and I could do that. That God is faithful. He's never let us down. And when David thought back, he remembered God never pulled the rug out from him. He was always there to pick him up when things got rough. God would teach David truth. Not truth to crush him, but truth to set him free. You know, hopefully, as somebody was saying, when you come to worship God, to say, oh, I feel lifted by God because I gave him thanks. And I heard his word. God teaches truth. That God is our Savior. We're not going to get to heaven without Jesus. He's the Savior. And if, you know, in the pains that we have, if God would take care of our greatest pain, which would be sin and death and the threat of hell, certainly he will care for us when we do get other trials, which are painful, but where he is there for us. God's our Savior. And then God is merciful, loving, and good. Sing of his mercies forever. I like it in a lot of churches. They start off the service, they say, preacher says, God is good. And everybody says, all the time. And then the preacher says, all the time. And everybody says, God is good. It's a reminder. Do you ever wonder why he doesn't start the service by saying, God is wrathful. And everybody says, all the time. All the time, God is wrathful. Now, God's wrathful, but he's not wrathful all the time. Or we'd be having Hawaii right here. See, in the sanctuary with the everything going. He holds back, doesn't he? He holds back the wrath, giving us a chance to turn to him. So remember the goodness of God. That's what David was counting on in there. And he's forgiving and gracious and powerful. And David, he said, my eyes would be ever on the Lord. So he knew that the peace he wanted was not absence of conflict, but the presence of God. And one good faithful commentator said this, I want to share with you. Oops. He said, times of great trouble are times of great prayer. Oh, wow. It probably, if any time in history we could pray, it would be this time in history. Because you think history is full of trouble? Like ring the bell, ding, ding, ding. You think our country's in trouble? Time of great prayer. National Day of Prayer. Gathering to pray. Concert of prayer. Ding, ding, ding. Concert of prayer. Times of great trouble. Times of great prayer. Yeah, we could talk to God. He says, come on, I can help you. And do that in your soul. Gather with others to do that. Nobody ever thought on God too much. Evil won't triumph over God's children because God's throne is against evil. God will teach us, for we're blind to the truth. He says, I'll lead the blind in paths we can't see. And even this, and I like this, even when we are most lonely, God will receive more glory to help such an outcast as us. You know, who would think that God would say, you're my son or daughter, come on. And then even when we're in the wilderness and we have pain all the way to heaven, God will be faithful and give us strength and make us heaven bound. You know, a lot of Christians could put up with pain 90 years because they know at the end, they're going to be with Christ and he's with us now. So take heart. You know, God's merciful. You won't have 90 years, but he's gracious. How do we respond to God's faithfulness like David did? We turn to God from all known and unknown sin. Lord, sincerely, I want to do this. I do this with your help. The sin I know and the sin I don't even realize. I think half the sin we have, we don't even realize we have it. We're just like, yeah, I'm used to being impatient. I'm proud of my impatience and so on. Turn to God from your sin. Commit to unconditional prayer and obedience. I'll pray not just till the problem's over, but because it's a blessing to talk to God. I'll pray to God no matter what. I'll talk to him no matter what. Some of y'all practice conditional communication with your Christian brother and sister. When you like them, you talk to them. When you don't like them, you don't talk to them. You do the same thing to the Lord. That's a problem. Unconditional prayer and unconditional obedience. You know, obey God all the way to heaven. And thinking about what God would say to that dear soul, he'll say that to you. And then we say, Lord, I lift my soul to you. And in the closing verse, redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. And we could pray that for ourselves. Redeem us, Lord, from all our troubles. Pray for a brother and sister in Christ that way. And it's admitting there's troubles. You're not living in some imaginary, spiritual Atlantis. You think you have no problems, but you say, God, he'll meet me there, and he'll be bigger. And he'll be great. He'll be great in the troubles that hit your soul. I want to close with just quietly giving our troubles, pains, and sins to God. And the Lord knows there's a lot of them, but his shoulders are big. His heart is for you. So let's pray together as his children. Lord, hear us in our silent prayers. We bring troubles to you, O God, like David did. Thank you, you're more present than all our troubles or our pain. And so we bring these to you, and we find you're bigger than those. Hear our silent prayers.